Welcome and bienvenidos to Mariachi DNA, a puro mariachi podcast. Grab your favorite tequila, sit back and enjoy.
Pues aquí estamos de vuelta, hablando todo lo que es puro mariachi. We chit-chat about everything that's puro mariachi. Mariachi on tour, mariachi concerts, mariachi restaurants. Oh,
it's puro mariachi. It's a chat about a podcast about all mariachi. Any questions anybody has can just throw them out to the universe and they'll land here on our show.
It's interesting how we do that.
Yes, yes. Like, how tight are those pants? It depends.
And do you wash them or dry clean them?
Well, we hand wash them. Cold water. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in a pillowcase because of the gala.
Correct.
Yeah. There's little tricks to the trade of being a charro in the mariachi world. Well, but we do wash them. We have to wash them.
I also want to know. Well, I would hope so. I also would want to know about your touring. But we're going to leave that aside for right now because one of the things that we get asked a lot and we either get emails from our fan base or, you know, I get texts or whatever. They always want to know, especially when I'm like backstage, people are texting me, what are you doing now? And are you doing da-da? You know, it's like, it's so, I'm trying to do a show.
Well, that's
trying
the thing.
To get my makeup.
People have access to you because that's the person you are. And it's great, except when you're like trying to walk on stage and all of a sudden your phone is ding. What are you doing?
Exactly.
I have 18,000 people in the audience waiting for him to go out and say something. I'll text you back.
It's a laugh a minute, and I enjoy every second of it. So if we can talk about what it takes to prep a show like Mariachi USA, which is not, you know, the average concert is 2.5 hours. Festival, it's a different animal altogether. Yeah. So people should know that it takes us roughly, you know, what, 5 months to put this together from beginning to end.
It's 5 months on the production side.
Correct. I mean,
just on the thinking about it, it's year round.
Yes, absolutely.
Because groups reach out to us and we encourage groups to send us, you know, videos and recordings and promo and where they're going to perform, you know, if they're close by. Because we're about, you know, it growing, you know. So, yeah, we'd love to see new groups and hear what's going on. But, yeah, it's year round, Roger. We live in Mariachi USA
world
all year. We're permanent residents.
And with artists and production team, the pyro team, the bowl team, the IATSE union team, it's approximately 200 people that it takes to put on the show. So it's not just throw them on stage and vámonos.
Right. No,
it's not that mentality whatsoever. We pay attention, very close attention to all of the logistics. We request, once an artist is contracted, we request their playlists of what they desire. Tiger, why don't you talk to this a little bit? Because you pretty much work with the artists directly.
Well, there's so many things that go on. And it's something that I've learned and I do. And I know that you used to before me when I just started directing 20 years ago. But from the very beginning.
You mean when I produced, directed,
you
mixed.
Hosted, you were focusing the lights.
Like the Steven Spielberg of mariachi.
You were doing everything. And so, you know, but yeah, out there, there's a lot of facets. There's a lot of buttons and spaces to touch and hit. And for two reasons, there's the artist side and then there's the production side as far as the crew members at the bowl and then there's also delivery. We have a wonderful group of staff that are family with us that gets stuff to the bowl, that gets the U-Hauls, that, you know, sells the tickets, that, you know, does all this other stuff. And it's a wonderful family, and I am blessed to have that on my side. But yeah, we look at groups and we have our list of groups, and then we say, okay, who do we want this year? Because we try to mix it up. We really try to mix it up. But there are the top tier groups that deserve to be there. And people want to see. And that's part of what we want to deliver. We want to give people what they want to see. The whole idea of the show is, yes, there's five groups. But there's no such thing as an opening act or a close act.
You know? Oh, God. I am so...
Yeah. Mm. And people are like, well, who's opening?
Emphatic.
And who's going to close?
That is so old school.
No, no. It's the from 6 o'clock, that's when the show starts. That's the headliner. The headliner is Mariachi USA. So from 6 o'clock, there's it's all top tier. The whole production, as the show, is what is the headline.
And whoever goes on stage first really sets the tone and sets the pace for what happens, because we start big and grow bigger and bigger and bigger. Yeah. And there's just an explosion along with, you know, the explosion on stage is equal to the explosion that goes on above the bowl. Mm-hmm. So when groups say, oh, but we're going to open. No, you're not opening. You know, you have the grace of being first up. You set the tone for everybody
else.
There's
no ranking.
No ranking. Not at all.
And I try to, you know, and we've been around for so long, and our reputation has been very, very good that artists already understand that. And they come into that understanding. And they understand the privilege of being on that stage. And we understand the privilege of presenting on that stage. So it's a beautiful thing now to be a part of this. But yeah, we start listening to groups, and then you and I, you know, you say, have you heard of this group and how are they doing? And I say, let me check. And oh yeah, have you heard of this group? They just did this, and look at this, they got new trajes. And that's a big part of putting this show on, is what the fan is going to see. And I know you've always, you know, what are the trajes going to be? I need pictures because I need to work with lighting to make the best presentation for the visual. And then for myself, instrumentation, you know, how many in the, you know, there's just not a standard, you only have 7 mics and that's it. You know, we respect every group as a professional. We have a limited amount of inputs, but I want to make sure, and I know you want to make sure, that they sound the best they can in that incredible place.
Inputs, so, for all you out there that are not in the industry, inputs into the audio board so that it allows you to mix the various multitude of instruments that are getting played simultaneously.
If you ever go to karaoke, right? You do karaoke, you get one mic with one cord that goes into the board. And that board might be able to do 6 more mics, right? Well, for Mariachi USA, for a standard group, so that's one input. We would have close to 46 inputs, I would say, including wireless mics, including instrument mics, and then vocal mics.
And the wireless mics are used for the violins that move around, so they have mobility.
Yeah. And that's that's...
And my mic.
Well, that's the most important one.
Muy importante.
I have to put diamonds on that. I have to mine them myself, actually. I have to go in the backyard because she has a little hill back
Hasta
here.
Hasta el pobre micrófono le tocó el bling.
And I go and mine for the diamonds that are going to be on your mic. But so 48 inputs, and that's only one side. We have to double it. So,
because we have a turntable.
Yes.
For those of you that haven't been to the bowl and are out there, who knows where you are, the Hollywood Bowl has a turntable that is now amazingly synchronized. Before, when we did our first show, whenever that turntable turned, people were holding on for dear life.
The first shows, there was no turntable. That was the old bowl.
Oh, correct.
The bowl has transformed and grown.
There was a turntable, but we didn't use it. We did not use it. And that's when we had traditionally now famous.
That's right.
Balls of the bowl. Because
it was actually built on the stage.
Correct.
Now it's inset in the stage. Like it's flat.
It's part.
With the floor.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, those early days. You remember? Okay. So I was there. I was with
Campanas. Wait. So let's go back to what happens in our, we load in.
Yeah, no. You know? So once we get our artists picked, then I have to communicate with them. And once you do the contract and we get their times down, then I have to work with every group to find their song list, which is sometimes, you know, in our show, there's about 100 songs that are played or performed.
And everybody wants to play Guadalajara.
Yeah.
And everybody wants to do Ella Me Cansé de Ro.
Yeah. Everybody wants to do the hits. But the beauty about our culture and about our artistry of mariachi music is there's more than probably tens. You know, ten of hundreds, you know, what is it, a thousand?
Yeah, that's good. It'll work.
I was trying to go tens of thousands, but I'm like, I might be pushing it. But there's so many songs out there that people can relate to and that are performable and that it just entertains. But we do, I can tell you, we have a secret list in the safe that we say, okay, after everybody brings their song list, chiseled down to their minutes, right? And we all agree. And then we look at our secret songs in the safe and say, these must be played because people come to the show to hear these songs. And then we work with the groups and put them in the sets. And that's how we get to where, you know, we write our script, you and I.
And we give marching orders to Flo for her dancers.
Right. We assign songs. And the way Rodri likes to do the show rundown is she puts every little part of the show on a post-it note.
On my kitchen island, so yes, you can imagine.
So she'll write production number, serenata. And then she'll write halftime jam. And then she'll write the songs of each group. And then, so we have about 100 post-it notes. And then we start, you know, she starts like, this goes here, and this will go here. And it's incredible. And I'll just, I always say this about, you know, I'll just say this about Roger, but, you know, she can see the show on paper and understand if it's a good show or if it can be a better show. And we always strive for the better show. So everything that shows up on that stage is the better show that we've put together. And then it's just getting to the bowl and rehearsing. And if we do production numbers, you know, we rehearse the groups like Serenata. We have whether one, two or two groups.
We go to a rehearsal studio
yeah.
up here in North Hollywood. And
just like the stars we are, like the stars, you know, you think we don't do it. But yeah, we do that. We
rehearse with the dancers and, you know, we occupy pretty large studio because sometimes there's, you know, 60 people rehearsing in there.
Yeah. And then we get to the day of, we got everything. We have the artist, we have the song list, we have the script, you know, we have the props ready. They're in the U-Haul. We drive up there, you know, Saturday, the day of the show.
The production trucks.
Well, they say U-Haul on them, but sometimes they're Penske. We are production trucks. And then we get ready for the show. We load in early.
We have our tradition, though. I always take Portos, being the Cuban that I am. I always like to treat our crew and our union staff to have some delicious refugiados, which is guava and cream cheese pastries and pastelitos de carne. So we carry, and when my mother was alive, she would make a flan for the box office union. They still remember it. They're still there. It's our flan. And Grace makes it sometimes.
I was just going to say one of my favorite parts of getting ready for the show is when your tia brings lasagna to the house.
See, look at this. This is those little moments that are created. It's the Latino part of us. You know, who takes flan or pastelitos to the box office or to the union crew, you know, so they can have their early morning coffee with a little bit of sabor or pan dulce, and it permeates.
Right.
You know, it's in our DNA.
Right. We don't go empty handed.
No, ever.
No.
We're always gracious and we appreciate those that serve us and whom, you know, we serve as well. And then it's almost nonstop. It's like from the second we hit that stage, Tiger, I commend you running your sound checks, because this show we used to load in on a Friday back then. And because we had to bring we would have to bring in our own audio and our own lighting.
That's right. Yeah.
And so it was a load in day, and then we would do sound check. Sometimes we would do sound check on late Friday.
I remember those days.
Do you remember that very first? Oh, let's not digress. Let's keep going on what our itinerary is.
I probably don't remember, but I might remember some of it.
Well, you were a violinist.
I was
simply a violinist.
I was just there in awe, and it was fun. But
sound check is from.
Well, yeah,
everybody has a lunch break, and then we do sound check.
Going back to bringing the portos and the crew, and that's been a tradition that you started. And I can tell you from, you know, my position when I'm there, I can see the payback or the receipts for that action, because, you know, it's a very it's a work environment. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, there's no messing around. You know, It's you know, this is you know, we follow the rules and everything, but we are very much family with people there. Ellen, who used to work the backstage for years, a beautiful worker back there, and she since retired and I think relocated, but she used to be the main.
She was stage right manager.
She was, I mean, it all went through her. She had the console. She looked like an air traffic controller.
Correct.
Because she was just, she had all the knobs in front of her. And it was just so good to talk to her every year and see her.
And when she semi-retired, she got to request the shows she wanted to work. And she always chose ours. She wanted to be there for Mariachi USA.
And there was, there's tens, you know, there's more of the Ellens. I know you have a very close personal relationship with a lot of people and some who are no longer with us that we still feel their spirit when we're there. We know they're there and they would be there. But yeah, it's an incredible thing to be a part of that production. And that's where it's a big production. That's where it's not just you and me and the mariachis. It's the whole Hollywood Bowl that embraces us. And so we do the sound check. And that's got to fly, Rodri. I have to tell the artist, I said, you know, I wish I can give you a 2-hour sound check each, but I only have 2 hours total.
Están soñando.
I only have 2 hours total. So a lot of that, it's done because there's trust
between. And respect. It's yes. Trust in you as a director and respect, the mutual respect that they have grown and learned to have for other musicians and their seniors, and understand that those are at the head of the helm. We look at success of the show, and success of the show is built on success of each individual set.
Right.
So every piece counts because every single one of them is a jewel that goes on that crown of Mariachi USA. So again, it goes back to you're only as good as your last performance. Without comparing, that old school mentality. Thank God, I'm hoping that we had a little bit to do with getting rid of that old mentality of playing somebody else's song before they go on and then screwing up somebody's set and going over in time. You don't find that on our stage anymore. It doesn't happen. It was tough at the beginning because that would happen, and it created a lot of angst.
It was the Wild West of mariachi production because, like, you know, just OK Corral kind of stuff.
Well, I was like Annie Oakley, you know, in my wagon.
Yeah, that's perfect. You were Annie Oakley. you know, that's important. And I think that's what makes our production different from other producers and other productions, because you and I both know what monitors are. We know what, you know, what causes feedback. We know what to ask for. We know how to talk to, you know, there's some musicians out there who feel like they don't deserve to ask for stuff. And we have to remind them, you need to tell us what you need so we can get it for you. And that's important. That's important to take your space and understand that you're not playing at a wedding background and it doesn't matter if anybody can hear you. This is not that kind of gig, you know, so it's important that we're able to communicate with the crew and with the artist. And that's part of the success of you and me being on that stage and able to make this show happen.
We were talking about the trajes, and the groups choose Mariachi USA as the place to feature their new trajes. And some of the horror stories that I have heard calling me of we're short two skirts. The girls groups were short two skirts. We didn't know what to do. And I said, well, just wear a black one.
Yeah.
Make a quickie skirt.
Yeah.
But they spend so much time, energy, and money because some of those trajes I've seen $2,000 per traje because they want to estrenarlos at Mariachi USA. And to me, they wow me.
And for those who are listening in and heard the word traje, traje is suit. Traje is a Spanish
costume. Costume.
Well, not for mariachis, not for charros.
Oh, that's true. Traje.
Yeah, no, dancers, they do
traje
wear dance
de
costumes.
Charro.
Yeah. The dancers wear costumes cause, depending on the region that they represent. But the charro wears the suit. And besides the cost of the suit, we have to pay for the botinas, patent leather boots or suede boots, which is another.
And by the way, it's equal men and women, huh? Because Although the women wear skirts.
Yeah, no, it's just expensive.
Same cost. And the silver, mm-hmm. the embroidery, a lot of that is done with the silver threads.
Yeah. The belt and the belt buckle. Oh, man, we can get into $6,000 worth of
accoutrements.
Yeah.
The accoutrements of mariachi trae.
Yeah, so...
And the hats.
Yeah, sombreros.
Oh,
yeah.
If you have a sombrero, that has to be embroidered as well. And almost every group that performs at the Hollywood Bowl comes in with their hats. They may not take their hats, you know, when they're performing for you at a wedding or at an event, but definitely a mariachi is a... They'll start with hats, and then, of course, because of lighting, shadows, et cetera, they will take them off and perform without it and end with it.
And that's just how you look. I mean, that's how you present yourself, your appearance. There's also the cost of what your instrument is.
Mm-hmm.
So each, you know, besides having myself as a musician in the mariachi world, you know, there's the cost of my traje, and then there's the cost of my instrument and the upkeep of instruments and strings because I play violin. It's not a cheap, you know, hobby or profession in that sense. But I say this so when you go out there, you appreciate the music, but appreciate the person too that's, you know, giving you the music and what they've done to get there and what we've done to put them there.
When you just touched right now on it's a very expensive hobby, but it's really not a hobby. Yes. Some of these musicians have made it a business, but many have not. They love mariachi and they do perform with groups, but we have professionals that have their full-time jobs. We have one of your musicians, Roland San Miguel Bell's son, him and his wife own a very successful real estate firm in San Antonio.
Yep.
And
we're all, there's a profession that takes care of the profession.
Exactly.
You know, but realtors,
we have teachers, lots of teachers, mm-hmm. arrieros, almost all of their members are teachers in the Valley, and they have taught students that have gone on to be state champions and now are forming their own professional groups. So they have full-time jobs. Flo, who is our director also, she's manager of 200 people at the place that she works at. And yet you see her out there prancing around, you know, making sure that the dancers are on time. So, you know, don't kid yourselves. People don't just get up on that stage magically and then they go away and they continue, you know, playing whatever it is. No, they're very active, involved members of the community. Some are extremely involved politically.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it just goes on and on. And from producers to look at Jose, mm-hmm. Several Joses. I'm going to say all the Joses because there's several Joses that are producers and arrangers and working on films.
Yeah. Our vihuela player, Carlos Alvarez, is in the
recent Grammy winner.
He just won a Latin Grammy for some work he did on an album.
Producing.
And so, there's other things that happen before we hit the stage. And you might ask yourself out there, is like, wow, that sounds like a lot of money and a lot of work. You know, why do you do it?
It is. But it is a lot of money
I'll
and a lot of work.
You, to be on that stage and to perform the music that we love,
it's worth every penny.
And to get the reaction and the applause, to have the microphone and to walk the catwalk to where you almost, you know, in the middle of the bowl.
Where I've almost fallen twice.
Yes. And we talk about that every year, how far you can go out in the house, because I know you love to be with the people. And they love to be with you, but I need you backstage as a director.
He wanted to put me on a bungee cord one year.
I wanted just to reel you back in, of course, because I just, it's like a fish on a hook. I just didn't want you to get away.
That, you know, I have to tell you, one of the funniest things that's ever happened to me in that catwalk is I actually had somebody grab my butt.
Well, I was trying to get your attention. No,
I was like, I tried to play it off, but then I turned around and that same person grabbed my boom. And I thought, okay, this is enough. I'm moving away from this. And there was mixed gender in the crowd. And I thought, okay, I hope somebody enjoyed it. Send me a check.
Well, our friends, you know, our fans, they have fun. They have fun, but they have good fun.
Yes, they do.
You know, it's nothing.
But I also learned not to go out into the audience because I do not like security around me. I feel that this is mission for me. And so I am with the people. I'm there with all of our fans and I like to be there. But it got very dangerous one year where I really got one of my ribs hurt because somebody grabbed me the wrong way and they were like asphyxiating me. And out of respect, because I don't like to shoo anybody away and I don't like to be pulled away and I don't like the presence of security. You can't do that to people. People just want to take a photo with you. Yeah. They want to talk to you. But I'm not a celebrity. I don't want to be put on that pedestal. That's not what I do. And I thought it's just for the safety of our fans and for myself, it was best that I not go out in the audience anymore.
Yeah.
Even with tennis shoes.
Yeah, no. And I watch you as a director. I watch how far you go. And we have an excellent security at the bowl who, you know, they don't police us. They protect us, you know.
Absolutely.
And we love to, you know, when they take care of us. And if there's ever an issue, I can just go say, could you please check on this? Or can you, you know, we need this. And whatever we say, they're there for us. And they're there for the fans also. And it's just, it's a great place to be.
Let's talk a little bit about what goes on backstage because you all are watching the show on stage, but there's another show going on backstage that you're not even aware of. And it's a lot of fun stuff. You know, it's not negative. It's just fun things of the camaraderie of groups going, you know, into others' dressing rooms and jamming. There's jamming sessions going on, jam sessions going on in different dressing rooms.
You know, I think, and I'll clear this up now. Everybody thinks that going backstage is one big party, but it's, you know, you don't see anything backstage except people running around trying to get, you know, to their spots or changing or, you know, once they perform, they get together and they're in their spots. But, you know, it's not like the movies where it's just, you know, there's a DJ back there and everybody's drinking and it's, you know, and people always want to go backstage with us. And they always said, I want to go backstage. I said, why? You're not going to see anything. Everything's out, you know, out in the audience. You can see what you really want to see back there. You probably just sit next to a bathroom, you know, with a glass, with a cup of water and that's it. Yeah. But, you know, but it's, I understand. But backstage is, it's beautiful chaos.
It is.
You know, it's beautiful chaos. I'm always concerned that the group's not going to be ready for the stage. You know, and usually said you got a 15-minute call till we hit the intercom. You know, Mariachi X, you need to be up here in 15 minutes. We're going to, you know, get in places because everybody's got to get their mics on. They got to get their mics positioned behind the turntable before it turns. Everybody make sure their sombrero, their hats, make sure nothing's, the zipper's not broken or, you know, a skirt's not falling off.
I got a story for you.
No, I there's a couple of them. But it's a production family. It's one big family, you know, even though we're from different parts of the world, we have different backgrounds, but we have the DNA of mariachi that runs through us that just makes us all so happy to be together. But it's chaos, though. I won't lie about that.
Well, speaking of chaos, I've had a couple of costume mishaps, and I sort of have a tradition of changing, you know, four or five times. And one year I did have a mishap. I know there's a photo out there somewhere. And the person that was next to me in the finale was Maureen. Maureen was, I think, probably 7 or 8 years old at the time when this
Maureen
happened.
Maureen was one of our all-stars, one of our singers, young
and
talent.
And Maureen kept, you know, it's the finale.
Yeah.
It's the very last. We're about to go into La Negra and the fireworks. And she's pulling at me, you know, to look at her, to pay attention. And she kept saying, your blouse, Rodri, your blouse. And I said, oh, it looks fine. It looks good. No, Rodri, your blouse. And then the person next to her, who was one of our performers from our M show that we did in Vegas.
Yes.
He finally said, your boob is falling out. She was so demure and saying, fix your blouse, Rodri, fix your blouse. And then he just said, your boob is...
If I can paint a picture, because I was there, and the picture I want to paint is the Hollywood Bowl has a huge stage. It's under a shell. It's an iconic
60-foot wide stage.
You can see it. I mean, it's if you see the Bugs Bunny cartoon where he's has his hand in there conducting in the cartoon, he's in the shell, and that's the Hollywood Bowl. But on the sides of the Hollywood Bowl, of the shell, there's big screens.
Jumbotrons.
And then
LED, you know.
They're huge. And then there's in the middle of the house in the audience, there's another set a little further back. And then I think there's one more set way towards the back. So, you know, wherever you sit at the bowl, you can see the show, you know, whether you're up front.
You're really going to do this.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm just going to say what I saw. I was looking out and I was like, something's going on, because all of a sudden nobody was watching the stage. They were just looking at the big screens. And I'm like, why are these people looking at the big screens? They're right in front. Why are they stretching their necks to look? And then I figured out that, yeah, your mishap was being broadcast all over. But
yeah,
I didn't. I mean, you corrected that.
And my mom and my dad were alive at the time. Yeah. You know, so you can imagine. It was like,
Then the
other time you I don't think that you were there, but I was wearing a dress and somehow the zipper had opened and it just started working its way down, and I was center stage and I had to introduce a group, but there was a group behind me, and the group that was behind me saw the zipper go down little
down.
By little by little, and I thought and it was a long zipper.
Oh my.
So I cut it short and got off stage really fast because I wasn't sure how long I was going to be able to last. I kept sort of pretending like I was scratching my back or something.
Yeah.
Could have been, there's a lot of mosquitoes and bugs on that stage. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, there are. But those are the stories that,
nobody knows about.
No, but
knew about.
We, after the show, that's what keeps us laughing into the hours, the night of, cause we talk about it. You know, we said, well, we're so tired, you know, what a show, man. We got everything done.
And then we're up till 5 o'clock in the morning
we're saying,
talking.
Remember when you're...
Oh, my God.
And we laugh all night. But those are great memories.
How about the time we blew out the Hollywood Bowl woofers? We had this...
Well, we didn't do it. I mean, it was done, but, you know, we didn't intentionally. No, things happen, you know.
I've always done a moment of silence
yeah.
for all of those that have passed, because everyone has a family member that has attended Mariachi USA. They've gone with them and they're no longer with us. So I used to do a moment of silence, and then now I just do a moment of cheer for those that are no longer physically with us. And that particular year... I don't know. It was one of those nights. Take it away.
You know, we never plan for things to go wrong, and because, you know, we have professionals, but sometimes, you know, just we can't help it. It just happened that night when you said we like to have a moment of silence. One of the engineers behind the board hit a button that, you know, it was an automated board. So it automatically, the faders on the board went to a preset. Unfortunately, it was the wrong preset, and it started.
Por favor, ay Dios mío.
Mics that shouldn't have been on were on, and they were probably in somebody's pocket or behind or next to a monitor or something. And from your words of a moment of silence, right after that, we hear
a building.
And the whole place started shaking.
And backstage, they thought that it was an earthquake in the house. You could hear people. They weren't sure if they should panic or not. And I had to come out and tell people, please stay in your seats. If it's an earthquake, we'll tell you how to exit. For right now, just everyone, please stay in your seats.
And then the engineer, since it was automated, he couldn't just pull down a knob just to turn it off. So I think he ended up unplugging it or something. But by that time, the equipment is so refined and so sensitive that we ended up, you know, thousands of dollars worth of damage to the sound system there,
and we still finished the show.
It was still great but
the next day was the Hollywood Bowl. They had a Hall of Fame night, and they were inducting and celebrating Carlos Santana, so you know the kind of instrumentation Carlos mm-hmm. has and the kind of audio he needed. Well, they started immediately calling everybody
yeah.
that they could.
All so hands on deck to yes. work all night.
They worked all night so that they could be
And these aren't just speakers that are standing on the floor. These are hanging, you know, way 40 up there.
40 feet high.
40 feet in the air. So, yeah. But, you know, for 35 years, Roger, I don't think we've done too bad it's still standing and we're still here.
I'm still standing. Oh, we can't sing these songs. Well, we're going to see what happens for our 35th coming up. We have a lot more to talk about. We are going to be doing a tribute to mariachi composers, mariachi arrangers, and talk about what makes a mariachi legend. The interpreters, the chentes of the mariachi world, and the songs, the intensity of the song. Why is mariachi what it is? And you look at the lyrics and it's directly associated, the storytelling, the intensity of every single lyric. When you read José Alfredo's Te Vas Porque Yo Quiero Que Te Vayas. Mm-hmm. And it just, Agustín Lara, Tomás Méndez.
Right.
But that's on our next podcast when we're going to really feature those that have created the magic of what is mariachi DNA.
Yeah. And we will also talk about not only the DNA, but the space we occupy as Mariachi USA, you know.
A sacred space. It is.
It's a music festival, yes, but it's grown to be a real space that we live in. Like, you know, Los Angeles, California, San Antonio, Texas, Mariachi USA. Mariachi is a place in our country.
Mariachi USA, America.
Yeah, it's our hometown as far as mariachi. So we'll talk a little more about that and a lot of other great stuff.
This is Rodri.
This is Tiger.
Catch you next time.
If you sing El Rey, you have mariachi DNA.
Mariachi USA, the mariachi capital of America.